Memories, Dreams, Reflections by Carl Gustav Jung is the go-to place for anyone that is interested in learning about Carl Jung and his ideas. This is the greatest summary that you can probably get if you would like to have some sort of summary of the expansive, intricate, in-depth work of Carl Jung. You know, he has 18 thick volumes of text and he really likes to get into the details. So the very first place that I went when I got into Carl Jung was 2 years ago, and I got into the audiobook Memories, Dreams, and Reflections. Since then, I've read probably 8 of his books, and well, the best job I have of reading his books, and listen to the audiobook Memory Streams Reflections a few times now. And every time I listen to it, I take new bits of information, and as my conscious awareness expands and as I integrate more of my unconscious baggage and unequilibrated emotions and perceptions, I start to become more aware of the genius of Carl Jung. I do believe he has had one of the greatest impacts on psychology. You can see that he, one of his psychological tests, the Myers-Briggs, I believe, is all over. Now, that is a bit outdated, and I can get into that in the future. But this video, I want to get more in depth into some of the quotes from the book, Memories, Dreams, and Reflections. So I'll give a bit of a summary of the book, and then we'll get into reading and reflecting on some of the quotes, some of my favorite parts of the book. So the book is exactly what the title suggests. It's Carl Jung's memories. You know, he goes back to one of his earliest memories when he's like in the fucking pram looking at a tree. It's like, how do you remember that? Who knows? That's so cool. His reflections on his work, on his relationships with Freud and other psychologists and Goethe and some of these other people that he's worked with, his parents, his wife. So you learn about the relationships, and he reflects on his work, and then his dreams. And his crazy dreams. He gets into his dreams, some dreams that haunt him and that he really has to like go in and psychoanalyze himself and uncover his own unconscious data. He worked really hard to remain faithful to who he was and what he really did believe through him as a person and the text that he provided, that he wrote for everyone. He wanted to be as aligned as possible. And you can see that in the way that he writes. He says, now I know I am just a stepping stone and this is one piece of the puzzle, and I've done as much as I can with what I have right now. And I hope that you can suspend your judgment and use this information to build upon it and uncover more about the unconscious. He was so obsessed with uncovering the unconscious and figuring that out so that humans could expand their awareness and be more true to themselves. And this first quote that I'm going to read out is a great example of today's age, how we're kind of losing ourselves in social media and, you know, our work, our career, our families, we're losing our identity because it's too scary to look inside of us, and there's always distractions. So if it's scary to face who you really are and have a look inside of yourself, and then there's all these distractions around, it's going to be a whole lot easier to have a wank or go on TikTok or have some food or go hang out with a friend or, you know, fucking play a video game or watch TV. There's so many different things that we can do. Now, back in the old days, it was like, oh, hey, do I go and hunt the gorillas? and get hunt the antelope and get some food, or do I just sit here and do nothing, and or do I look in the stars? And that's why you look back thousands of years ago when there was nothing, well, quote unquote, nothing to do. They had such a connection to the universe, to the world, to the stars. They were astronomers back in the day, because they would do at night, their Netflix, their Uber Eats was fucking looking up into the stars and thinking and reflecting and translating. Okay, what's when I look up in the stars, what story is it telling me? What story is it telling me? And that's how we got mythology, and we passed down and we expanded our conscious mind by taking the very little order that we have out of the chaos and building upon that. And that's what Carl Jung's life was about. It was building bits and pieces, kind of going off on random tangents with fucking alchemy and astrology and mythology and all this kind of shit. And he's going off on tangents, but they all come together and they're building little bits and pieces of order that we can see out of the chaos. If you're a captain on a ship in uncharted territory, no one's ever been there before, you're going to use the information that you currently have to give you some sort of idea. Okay, I know Australia's here. I know Africa's here. Okay, I don't know what's in that direction. Okay, I know what my bearings. Let me kind of just go that way. And that's what Carl Jung does, and that's what a great human does in their area of expertise, in their highest values. They are going to face the dragon, face their fears, and take what they currently know, and then challenge that by going into the darkness of where they have no idea, where they don't know. And that's how paradigm shifts occur. That is what a genius does. A genius questions society's norms and puts themselves out there and challenges the ideas to expand awareness of unconscious information. And there's always new unconscious information. As soon as you learn something, you've got a whole nother room to grow, another level, another devil. So here is a quote that demonstrates where society is headed and how we have lost that connection with ourselves. We've lost the connection with the unconscious. And when we work with the unconscious and reflect on it, so by drawing, by analyzing our dreams, by analyzing our language, by analyzing our perceptions, there's all different ways that we can analyze and reflect on our unconscious mind. And if we're not doing that, we're not really figuring out who we are. And who we are is so important because it expands our awareness, it expands our love, presence, gratitude, inspiration, wisdom, certainty, and enthusiasm. These are the six transcendental feelings that are indescribable. The feeling you get when you are in a moment of love and you are present with the beauty of the universe and you are present with who you are and you can love who you are, it's fucking unbelievable. It's really, it's fucking insane. And Carl Jung has helped me to do that, and I want to help other people do that. And here is the quote. We got there. We are very far from having finished completely with the Middle Ages, classical antiquity, and primitivity, as our modern psyches pretend. Nevertheless, we have plunged down a cataract of progress which sweeps us on into the future with ever wilder violence the farther it takes us from our roots. Once the past has been breached, it is usually annihilated and there is no stopping the forward motion. But it is precisely the loss of connection with the past, our uprootedness, which has given rise to the discontents of civilization to such a flurry and haste that we live more in the future and its chimerical promises of a golden age than in the present, with which our whole evolutionary background has not yet caught up. We rush impetuously into novelty, driven by a mounting sense of insufficiency, dissatisfaction, and relentlessness. We no longer live on what we have, but on promises, no longer in the light of the present day, but in the darkness of the future, which we expect will at last bring the proper sunrise. We refuse to recognize that everything better is purchased at the price of something worse. That, for example, the hope of greater freedom is cancelled out by increased enslavement to the state. Not to speak of the terrible perils to which the most brilliant discoveries of science expose us. The less we understand of what our fathers and forefathers sought, the less we understand ourselves, and thus we help with all our might to rob the individual of his roots and his guiding instincts, so that he becomes a particle in the mass, ruled only by what Nietzsche called the spirit of gravity. Reforms by advances, that is, by new methods or gadgets, and of course impressive at first, but in the long run, they are dubious and in any case dearly paid for. They by no means increase the contentment or happiness of people on the whole. Mostly, they are deceptive sweetenings of existence, like speedier communications which unpleasantly accelerate the tempo of life and leave us with less time than ever before. Omnis festinatio ex parte diaboli est. All haste is of the devil, as the old masters used to say. Now, how's my Latin on that? Wow. Incredible. He's basically saying we're a bunch of fucking idiots and we are so arrogant in thinking that we have phones and internet and fucking cars and we can work from home now and we can order food online and we can order anything we fucking basically want online. Cool, we've made it. Woo, we've made it. Sweet, let's sit down and watch fucking Netflix and go on TikTok. Hell yeah. And we've lost that connection to the past, where in the past it was about curiosity. It was about connecting with your tribe. Now, depending on where you live, most places you walk down the street, no one even makes fucking eye contact, which is crazy. Which is like we're so disconnected from ourselves because we're caught up in this fucking rush. This tempo of life is fucking way too fast that we forget to even connect with other human beings. Not even the world, but we forget to connect with human beings. And we're definitely not connecting to ourselves, most of us, at least. So we don't understand that the price of something better is paid for with something worse. So if I would like to buy a car that's going to get me from A to B, I'm not understanding that I could be spending that money on something that would be nourishing my soul to a much greater degree. And here's a good example. So last year I sold my car and I bought a bunch of courses. I bought some books and I just started riding my bike everywhere. And I started listening to podcasts as I was riding and I felt so much better. And I felt like I wasn't committed to fucking like hanging out with someone or going to a meeting or like doing some bullshit activity that I didn't really want to do. I was like, well, I have to seriously think about this now because I'm not going to ride my bike to fucking like 2 hours away to go, you know, have a coffee and then fucking come. Like, no, I've got shit to do now. I've got to prioritize myself more effectively. So when we have like all of these shiny red objects right at our fingertips, it distorts our perceptions of what is important because it's like, well, what's more important is do I go to the gym or do I have some food? Well, I can order Uber Eats right now and it's going to take 20 minutes. Okay, cool. So I'm just going to bang. I'll order Uber Eats and then I'll go to the gym. You order the food, it takes longer. You eat it. It's not that good. It bloats you. Oh, I'm tired. Don't feel like going to the gym now. Whereas, let's say Uber didn't exist. Now it's like, oh, do I go to the gym or do I spend an hour collecting all of my food and making something and all this kind of... You're just going to go to the gym because it's more important. So don't let the instant gratification and the afterpay and fucking... There's so many. It's everywhere. And the reason it's so popular is because it's appealing to our lower mind. Our lower mind wants the instant gratification, wants it now, that wants the dopamine hit. So the more we connect with the unconscious, we figure out who we are, we face our fears, we are driven to instant gratification when we are in a stressed state of mind. We are in a stressed state of mind because we're not dealing and facing the fears that are hidden deep within inside our unconscious. When we reflect on our lives, on our dreams and our thoughts, our perceptions, our emotions, our feelings, our actions, we can then get in there, face the fucking fear, face the dragon, kill the fear, dissolve the fear. And now we're not living in a state of fear. Now we're not ruled by instant gratification. Now we don't have to do Uber Eats and Netflix and fucking wank and eat ice cream all day. Now we can focus on who we are. If you want to serve the world through your body, through your spirituality, through your work, through your finances, through your family, through a social cause, whatever it is, whatever your mission is, it is distorted by the fears that are deep within your unconscious. Stress is only two things. The fear of gaining what you're trying to avoid or the fear of losing what you already have. Stress is just fear. It's the same fucking thing. So if you're stressed, you're going to seek instant gratification because you're in that state of mind. You're in a fearful state. So by dealing with the unconscious, as Carl Jung says, by reflecting on your inner voice, your inner vision, and applying yourself to that, and by removing the instant gratification, the high highs, avoid high highs. I mean, sometimes I like ice cream and all this kind of thing, but applying yourself to your purpose, your mission, your goals, who you are, what you want to create, and just slowly chipping away at it one brick at a time, just like Carl Jung built his own house, the tower in Bollingham. He bought a block of land. He started getting all the blocks and he made his own house. And he said, it's simple. It's that simple life. And we don't need to live these complicated lives. We live simple to who we are. And we build on the foundations of who we are. As we learn more and develop more and build the foundations of who we really are, which our unconscious is telling us and giving us feedback and guidance on who we are. So analyzing the unconscious, journaling, reflecting, or this kind of thing. By doing that, we figure out who we are, and then we slowly expand on that. When you're going to build the Empire State Building, you don't start by building the fucking top level, do you? You start by building the foundation. Well, you start by planning. You start by building the foundations. Then you build level by level. That's it. So stop trying to build fucking level 100 of some fucking fantasy that you have because you're in a fear. Because the more fearful you are, the bigger fantasies you're going to have, and the more you're going to have unrealistic expectations of yourself. So you might as well be fucking aware of who you are. Start at the ground level of who you are, not the fucking top level of someone else. So let me read out one more quote, which I will finish with, which is fucking absolutely mind-blowing. The feeling for the infinite, however, can be attained only if we are bounded to the utmost. The greatest limitation for man is the self. It is manifested in the experience. I am only that. Only consciousness of our narrow confinement in the self forms the link to the limitlessness of the unconscious. In such awareness, we experience ourselves concurrently as limited and external, as both the one and the other. In knowing ourselves to be unique in our personal combination, that is, ultimately limited, we possess also the capacity for being conscious of the infinite, but only then. When we combine our conscious with our unconscious, our mind expands to the superconscious mind where we're filled in a state of love and gratitude, and we're present in the beauty of the universe. We have just dissolved time and space. We're no longer living in time and space. It is infinite. And when the more moments of that you can have where you're living in the infinite, the less stressed, the less fearful, the more certain you're going to be in who you are, and the more you're going to follow the path that is yours. You're going to walk your own path. Not everyone is prepared to do that. Not everyone wants to read Carl Jung, so we watch YouTube podcast summaries of them. So thank you for watching. That was Carl Jung. More videos on Carl Jung in the future. Subscribe.